Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new and magical episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Pauly Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cow, and I am
Moo.
joined by my normal host,
Jonathan A. Moody.
And together we are joined by a special co-host.
An abnormal host, that would be Rebecca Reinhart.
Yay!
Woo! Rebecca, we're happy to have you back. We haven't had you on Indie Film Cafe in a while. So
nope.
It's true, it's true.
Yeah, she's been too busy with me and you doing different shows.
I've actually been a slacker, I realize, in 2022 when it comes to podcasting. I think 2023, I'm going to have to ramp it back up.
There you go.
There you go. Well, this will be out in 2023. So
okay, so this is my triumphant return.
Triumphant return
to podcasting.
You're coming back out, party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect occasion to introduce a movie that I know you've been wanting to see a movie and do a movie with us with Neil Breen, and we love our Neil Breen. So we've decided to go ahead and do this special episode, and it is from 2009. Neil Breen's I Am Here Now.
No, dot, dot, dot.
No, dot, 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 dot. He actually
put four
dots in
okay.
his ellipsis. Yes.
I
so
see.
It really took a long time for that to, you know, to that
gotta
dots
have that
to
extra,
start happening.
Extra long.
Well, ellipsis. It could be I Am Here ellipsis, period. No.
Yeah. It needs an exclamation point.
Maybe.
He just brings his ellipses, that's all.
That's right. I mean, he's his own person. So if I could, just for a minute, I know you guys have talked about Neil Breen before, and we were actually going to do this when we were all at Scarefest a few weeks ago, but it turned out to be crazy. So that didn't happen. So here we are, finally. I am an aficionado of what most people would call so bad it's good movies. Everybody kind of knows this, and so the thing is, though, what makes a movie bad? I just want to like kind of go around, and I want to just frame this a little bit. What makes a movie bad to me? A movie is only bad if I'm bored. Like, yes, you can look objectively, like, did they use the proper filming techniques and blah blah blah, you know, but it's like, if I'm bored or like I can't hear it or can't see it, fine.
Nope.
So I've never.
You're right in our wavelength. Trust me.
Right, well, right. So, and I know we've talked about this at least on Sexploitation Sleazecast. Like I judge a movie totally by its own thing. And so the more independent films I'm in and that I work on behind the scenes, the more incredibly defensive of indie filmmaking I get. So when people start like shitting on shot on video, for example, and things like that, I'm just like, you don't know because you've never been there. Like the older I get, the less and less I see Ed Wood as like a schlock filmmaker.
Oh no,
I think he was ingenious for what he had. But the thing is, Neil Breen, so I came into this, I'm like, I'm totally open mind. And I'm like, I've seen it before. I didn't really remember it, but I'm like, at the first 5 minutes, then I was like, oh, now I remember why.
Now you are there now.
Now
I'm here now.
Ready. We're all ready to talk about this. However, before we get into the meat of this episode, we do have to pause just for a little bit of
mood music.
All right.
And we are back. So, Ms. Rebecca, I can tell you've got a lot of steam under your engine for this film. Let's talk about it.
I just kind of want to set it up as I have nothing but utmost respect for Neil Breen. Hey, motherfuckers, he's made 5 movies in the last, 15 years or something?
And a retrospective.
Yeah, so, you know, and he's working on his next one. So, you know, I have nothing but mad respect for him in that. The thing that sets him apart is the fact that he's got money, and not a ton, I know, but he has enough to where he doesn't have to ask anyone else for consultation.
Yeah, he self-finances all his films, so he can do what he wants.
Self-finances, writes, produces, and directs, and he's always the romantic lead. And that's what sets his movies. There's a little bit of this,
For a
like,
reason.
there's some arrogance and, you know, a little bit of arrogance and a little bit of ego. You can
Just a
tell that
bit.
goes with this, just a little bit. But it all just it turns out into this wonderful little mess. I love it.
I know. And the thing is, we cover a lot of what we call vanity projects here on Indie Film Cafe. And all of Neil Breen's movies are pretty much vanity projects. They're
Oh, right.
self-financed and star him. And, you go through the credits and he does just about everything.
Oh, and craft services.
But the thing about it is he's pretty darn creative in the way that he goes about it. I mean, I've seen all his movies and I've not been bored by any one of them. And as we've said, making a boring film is the cardinal sin of filmmaking. It's certainly in my opinion, and a lot of people share that too. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good movie. There's plenty of wonderful things to enjoy about a Neil Breen movie. I'm never going to say that it's a great film, but it does its job in that it has entertained me. And a lot of movies, a lot of Hollywood movies, don't even do that.
But see, it entertains you in a different way than what its plan to entertain you with.
That's
Like
okay.
his plan, especially in this movie, is to have a political government stance, you know, and he will put that in there, and he will make sure you know what his thoughts are on the government and everything. And then but then you watch and you're kind of like, this is not good, like, you
The
know.
execution.
Execution,
And
yes.
I will say, you guys, like right after this, and I'm not kidding. This is more for those of you out in podcast land. I turn this off and like I watch Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater 3000 like constantly on Pluto. And it's live TV, so I'll just watch whatever they're playing. And I turned on Pluto after that. It was Birdemic, and I was like, I can't believe I'm gonna say James Nguyen did the preachy environmental slash world peace thing just a little better than Neil Breen did.
Well, I mean, it did have birds, flying down and bombing everybody instead of
Yeah,
Neil
Neil
Breen just
Breen
coming and
saving the
saying,
world.
"You are bad." That's all he did the whole time. It's
Doll
like,
heads
right.
in the
See,
desert.
Neil, I'm dying to see Neil Breen's Birdemic because the birds would be coming down and Neil Breen would be the one saving humanity, except for the birds that he sends
It
after
would
the
only
government.
be him, and it would be all stock footage. Which
Yeah.
we should also mention, the age of this movie was an age, like, I mean, I had to do like a gunshot for my movie. Like, I mean, somebody, a gun fires, and I have to do the flash, the smoke, the noise. And here I am sitting at my kitchen table in 2022, and I'm just Googling it, and I can do it pretty easily, you know, and I'm whatever. But like, that wasn't the case back then. Like, those kinds of special effects were not readily available to your average person.
Right.
And so a lot of the things he did look a lot like I remember when my early years of IT, this is what I'm doing right now. Like, I would do a lot of green screens, like video tutorials for people, and this is exactly what it would look like, and this is exactly what his movies tend to look like. It's like, okay, we had what, clouds parting, like the cosmos,
Lots of cosmos.
a solar farm, and a windmill farm, and there are four exact clips that take up about a quarter of the movie and are used repeatedly. I don't have a
Did you
problem with
mention the
stock.
dolphins?
Oh no, I didn't do that one either.
Yeah, the dolphins were twice in the beginning and the end. And
He pretty much all of them were at least the beginning and the end, but like I think the solar panels and the windmills got used a
well, the thing
lot
about it
frequently.
is that you'll notice Neil Breen is not particularly interested in making your garden variety thriller or horror movie or whatever. Neil Breen has a vision. Now, just because he has a vision doesn't necessarily mean that he's capable of executing it the way he has in his mind. But, that pesky.
He gives it a goddamn try.
Are you
Yeah, he
saying
gives it a
he's no
try.
Stanley Kubrick?
And there's that pesky reality that comes in when you actually have to be able to pay the money to get good people to do all this other stuff for him, which he can't really do. So he tries the best he can, and he wants to have some kind of a sweep, some kind of large, majestic, epic kind of a story. So you got to give him credit for that. He's not making some crappy whatever. You know,
Right.
this,
What do we
they all
all
have
know?
scope.
Right. We all know, right, what you have, right? I mean, and it's the shitty reality of being in indie filmmaking. Like, if you have access to a boat, you're going to write a scene where people are on a boat. Like, it
Right.
gives you production value, whatever. But it doesn't seem like he does that. You're right. He's like, this is my idea. This is my vision. And I am not going to back down on any detail.
Nope.
I will. I will figure it out. It may not be executed perfectly, but I'm not going to back down on any detail.
And you can see why he has this adversarial relationship with quote unquote typical Hollywood, because ain't nobody in Hollywood is going to come out and do any of this stuff for him, not unless they pay him lots. And even then, they're still not going to do it because you know he's not using SAG people.
No.
So he's not going to be able to get what he really, really wants, even if he has a ton of money. So this is one reason why he's always talking about how he is a maverick and how he's outside of the Hollywood elite and all that sort of thing. And that's
Wow.
fine because
By that
he's
definition,
making,
so am I.
but he's making his movies. And whether it's Neil Breen or Ed Wood or David the Rock Nelson, these
Tommy
folks are,
Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau, these people are not taking no for an answer. So you got to give them all the credit in the world. They're making their movies. They're doing it within whatever budgetary means they've got, but they're doing it and they're knocking it out of the park. And we love it. I absolutely love the fact that they're
Right.
doing this.
And then also, you, John, you had said like he always has these very elaborate, very epic ideas and things. And sometimes it's easier when you don't have much of a budget. It's really easy to like make a slasher or something like that,
Right.
or something that's going to be visually appealing and it's going to be like popular or whatever. But I mean, he does these things, but that's kind of part of the problem is that they're very large ideas that are not really executed great. But I mean, the thing is, they are still entertaining, and maybe I don't walk away going, wow, I really need to like get some solar panels from Rod from Birdemic or something.
Right.
But it may not be his original intention of why I find this enjoyable, but I find it enjoyable, so he made a movie and I like it.
Right.
Somebody, a cinema snob, said basically this. I believe it was if those guys who your father worked with at the companies or whatever, you know, the solar companies, decided to make a Jason Bourne movie. That's what this movie would be. And I was like, that is the best description of this
Right.
movie. Like, this is the Bourne Breen, you
There you
know?
go.
The
So,
brain supremacy.
Rebecca, do you think you can talk about what actually happens in I Am Here Now?
Okay, I can. However, I'm very sketchy on the timeline
It's
because
okay, so are we.
yes. So basically, there is a young girl, like in her 20s. She's blonde. She works for an environmental agency. And outside of the agency, she's telling somebody she just got laid off. The government's not supporting their program, whatever.
She won't
Okay.
wear a bra, neither will her friends.
Well, no, but that's her twin that she tells that to, I think. Are
Her
you talking about? Yeah.
twin,
Yeah, the
which,
twin.
whatever. Yeah. So basically,
They're both blonde. That makes them twins.
yeah, they're blonde, relatively the same height. I mean, whatever. So, I mean, they may be, but whatever. So,
No.
what seems to be like that's maybe like lunchtime, and then seems to be maybe about 3 in the afternoon. She's walking with said girl, and tells her, the girl tells her, well, I mean, you need another job, right? And she says, I'm getting desperate. It's been like 4 hours since I've had a job. And
This is the fake baby scene, right?
I have a baby. Now, I paused it because I this is like I wanted to kind of give Rob just the little bits and pieces, right? And I'm like, I want you to look at this. I'm like, this girl, you know, she just got laid off. Her sisters basically talked her into being a prostitute in about 30 seconds, and she's got to support this baby. And I mean, it's you could use a fake baby. You could use a baby. You could use a Cabbage Patch Kid if you wanted to. But man, he just doesn't even have the thing's head wrapped up. He's got the camera full force, 100% sunlight on this goddamn baby doll.
doesn't care, man. He
It's
like.
very problematic because, and that's here you go. That's something that a young Neil Breen might not have thought about, but an older one probably will. But the problem is that completely undermines the scene and undermines the character because all you're thinking
Well,
about is this person is insane. That's clearly a fake plastic baby that she's pushing
that's not all I'm thinking. I'm thinking, first
around.
of all, she really got talked into the escort thing really fast. I'm like, what kind of like deadbeat town do they live in that either you're an
Vegas.
environmental activist or you're a hooker? But then
I
the
guess
sister
that is
said,
Vegas.
I got some people. That is true.
There you are.
I've got some people you can talk to, right? You know, well, it's not just people. We've got a doughy-faced, long-haired German dude. We've got politicians. We've got gangsters who none of, and again, like none of these people are SAG. I don't think any of them ever were in anything, except for the very beginning. The girl in the truck is Tommy Vegas. I don't know if you guys know her.
Yep,
She
I
does a
know
lot of indie
Tommy.
film.
Yep.
And I actually, so in Fright Vision, I was actually Dr. Boobenstein, and she's the lead in one of the shorts. And I'm like, oh, look, 6 degrees of Neil Breen now.
Yeah.
I have like two.
Yep.
Which is
But
why it is fate. It is fateful findings that Dr. Boobenstein is going to end up in a Neil Breen film.
oh
I can
God,
feel it
I
happening.
want it. I want it so bad. But basically, so Neil Breen is cyber Jesus, comes down
Cyber
from the
Jesus.
heavens into the
Alien Cyber Jesus.
Yeah, he's a lot of things. Comes down to the desert. He finds the people in the pickup truck who, where the guy is a heroin addict who has no idea how to do drugs, and I guess he decides he's going to clean up this place by like fixing like 10 people in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's how he's going to do it. And what my confusion is, well, as things go on,
Your
he's
one
obviously
confusion or one of
right. Like
many.
he has the same problem that James Nguyen has, that like world peace and global warming, those are two completely different issues.
All wrapped up into one in here.
But somehow, like the gangsters and global warming are like,
I don't get any of that. Like what it, well, how does the government people and the gangsters fit together? Like
Because
I don't know. That does have a reason, right?
the government and the politicians are using the gangsters and the corporations to stop or to advance global warming and not letting Neil Breen make his movies in Hollywood.
Right. They don't. Yeah. The thing is that the government, which I assume it's these like four guys standing in front of a shanty, those are the government who aren't going to have give funding anymore to like the solar panel. I cannot say it solar. Sorry, I've seen
Solar.
Birdemic to mean like solar. So the solar power project or whatever that they're working on, and yeah, somehow the gangsters are like, they're the thugs are taking care of things in the back. But
I guess.
just to keep going with the plot, you know, he's systematically Neil Breen Jesus systematically is going to some different situations and waving his hand and making things better for certain people.
Is it better?
I don't know, but
Well,
basically.
he is Neil Breen's, so it's got to be better.
Well, I mean, he takes a guy, an elderly man with a full head of hair in a wheelchair who's undergone horrible chemotherapy, who has stubble and a mustache and more hair than I have.
Chemo's killing me.
Yeah.
Right. It's yeah, it doesn't look like it. And he takes 40 years off of his life and gives him a wife.
Well, apparently
So
all of
that's
them have
better.
character names and none of the names are ever
Ever
said.
said, yeah.
And so when I was looking up, like, who is who? I have no idea on the IMDb because they say their names and then
Well, and none of them have a picture.
none of them have a picture
Neil
because none of
Breen and
them are
Tommy
like big.
Vegas are the only ones who do.
I know, and Tommy, I knew when I saw her, I was like, ah, Tommy Vegas. I like her. I'm friends with her on Facebook. She's a sweetheart. She's a doll. She's not the doll that's in this movie. But she's a doll.
She's not
I like her.
the doll.
Yeah.
But I love how our wheelchair-bound hero, you know, all he
Hero.
wants to do all his life is apparently go to Vegas and see the Las Vegas sign. And that's like a big deal to him. I don't know
Okay,
why
right.
it is.
Don't you can't judge people's bucket lists, right?
So he does this, he goes there, he's pulling himself along, and this thug guy comes out of nowhere. You know, there's an entire universe he could walk around, and instead he walks right into wheelchair guy, and he's like, "Oh, watch where you're going, dude," and pushes him over. And that's what my favorite part is. And then the Neil Breezes pops over and says, "That's just not right."
That's
And
just
then
not right.
fixes the situation.
And this is where he, yeah, well, he waves his hand, right? And the people who are there kind of mid-step, they all pause, sort of.
Yeah,
Right.
they're like trembling.
Well, they're sort of trembling, like
Yeah.
they're moving a little bit.
There's a lot of movement for being
Just stop the
frozen in
camera.
time.
Tommy Vegas and them moved a little bit too when they were frozen and everything because the wind, you
Right.
know, because you can fake being frozen, but if the wind is that strong, it is going to
Right.
start knocking you.
Just pretend.
But again, there could have been some green screening and things going on, but it's
But
okay.
remember, in addition to fixing things for them, he then makes it really bad for Thug Guy. All of a sudden, he's like bleeding out of his eyes and or something, and he goes running off, going, "Oh!"
Like no apparent reason. He's a vengeful god.
Yes.
He's a vengeful cyber alien
Jesus. ET
deity.
Jesus. He, yeah, so what he like does that to the guy, and then he brings the guy to the sign where he can't really see the sign. He's
He
like
brings
under
him,
the
yes.
sign.
It's like way up in the air, and he
Yeah.
gets the guy like 3 feet from the sign to where you couldn't put your neck back far enough. And he only gets him up there for like 2 seconds, and then he pulls him right back out. Like, there you go. You got your 2 seconds,
Your
buddy.
wish. Now get out of the way
Yeah.
for the other people.
So
Don't play
one of
with your
my,
cancer chemo.
right. So one of my main questions that I have for you guys, because I was following it for the most part. I mean, you know, as weird as it may be, I was following it until the twin sister, who's still wearing the shirt that you can tell, like, and Tommy had this too, like the shirt is like this, but you can see they have a piece of tape on the nipples so they can have it as far out as they can without having their nipples showing. So twin sister's got on her white shirt like that. Well, now she's at work and she loses her job.
Right.
Okay, so because I was under the impression she was already a stripper,
Times were
server,
tough. I got the impression
whatever.
that she already lost her job,
Times were tough.
and that,
But
yeah.
yeah, but it's okay. Am I right in saying that this all takes place within at most 48 hours?
It feels like that because there's never a transition or never a proper transition. Scenes just
Well,
simply go from one to the next without any sense of time or place. You're just there.
but they
Nothing's
always are wearing the
established.
same clothes. And so
There's
unless
that
they're like the
too.
Simpsons, yeah, because
Yeah.
that's the only way I could tell the difference between the two girls at one point.
Except when they are now all of a sudden entertaining the politicians in the pool.
Hold
You
on.
know. I know you got something to say about
Oh yeah,
that.
that part was so annoying.
What was the direction there? Like, okay, we're just gonna just hold your boobs and laugh like something great's happening. Just keep doing that,
You
okay?
gotta
We're
be in a
only gonna
Neil Breen movie just so you can get us the
use it.
inside
It's just gonna
yes,
be like
knowledge,
a little
please.
flash of you guys going, ha. Instead, it's like going back to them for like a full minute going, ha. Like you could tell they're like, or is that it? Are you done? Oh,
And the
okay.
good thing is clearly he likes both of these actresses, and so he's like, okay, which one of them am I going to get to pose with no shirt on? The other one, I'll just pair her off with a new husband, and they can be out of the narrative forever.
Just make her a new guy. Like,
Make
hey,
her. Well,
he
he does. He's out of nowhere.
Right, and he's like, you guys go have a good life. Like, not even like, hey, you want to like meet this guy or
He
hey,
doesn't
no.
even look like a younger version of that guy, too, by the way. He looks like a completely new dude.
I mean, but that guy, you know, he's been wrecked by cancer. Come on, you know? He takes the
Chemo
cancer
cancer.
away at like 40 years, just magically,
Yeah,
like,
magically
dissolves
disappear. But I'm just saying, he doesn't even
all
like, I would not think that that's the same, like a younger version of
of
that old man. Like, I
Right.
never would
Oh,
have,
no. The only
that guy
reason
was
you would is because
completely, I think he was a completely
he's sitting
different
in the same
race in a
chair.
way.
And that's just it. So this is the part where it starts to lose track for me, because then all of a sudden you've got weird alien Jesus ape guy who pops in, and
Which
all
we
of a,
see behind John
yeah,
right
and all of a
now. Like,
sudden she's with the ape guy, and then she's also with Neil Breen's character, and they start to become interchangeable. And I'm like, wait a second, who is what here? I don't really quite
yeah,
understand
he's like some
this.
kind of, yeah, it's like a tribal god of some sort.
He looks like zombie Edward Scissorhands to me. Like, that's what
He's
I got
zombie
from it.
Neil
He looks
Breen.
like the
He's
creeper
Zombreen.
from Scooby-Doo, the original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Yeah, he's Zombreen. And I don't
Zombri.
understand where Zombreen fits in with this or what he's supposed to do, but she gets, topless without seeing her boobs, but with both of them. There's scenes where she's like laying down on top of him, scenes where he's laying on top of her. What that has anything to do with the narrative is beyond me. I just
Because
think,
he has to have like physical contact with a
yes,
young,
exactly, because
attractive
she's
female in this
hot and
movie.
he's gonna film it and he's gonna wedge it in there somehow. That's what it is.
Exactly.
At least we don't get the timey-wise though butt thing, like we
Well,
don't.
but we get that in his other movies, though. I feel like I see way too much. Like, I
No,
was glad. I'm like, no butt. Okay.
no
No,
Neil
no
Breen
Breen
butt
butt.
in
No
this.
Breen butt.
No,
No.
no.
Yeah. We had a lot of Breen, but not Breen butt.
Maybe that this was his insecure times where he was, not he wasn't ready for the
His
the commitment.
body was not yet at a premium.
Premium. Premium. I like it.
Okay, so you guys can't explain either why the sister has gone from, I mean, because she was high,
Oh,
because
yeah.
she's standing there in that outfit at the shanty thing going, once you're high, you don't care. And then what? Then she goes to work and gets fired. I
Maybe
don't.
she got fired because she was high,
Maybe, but I like her friend, the other guy who's there. He just goes up, hey, I want to be in your gang. They're like, you gotta follow our rules, motherfucker.
Because
Just like they just beat the fuck out
that
of him.
is so realistic about how anybody joins a gang.
Yeah,
Like,
they just walk up
hey.
and say, I want to join your gang. And at first, like, okay. At first, like, okay. And then the other guy's like, no, but you're like creeping on our turf, man. You're
Right, so
good.
let's. Right, so in case somebody is following you, like we said, we figured somebody is, let's murder you right here so that we have an eyewitness to this murder who can put us in prison.
But let's do it in a way that takes a long time by everybody just kind of punching you.
Right,
Did
right. But
I
did.
m miss a scene where he was on their turf doing stuff? Like,
No, he
he
was
just
just
walked in.
there
I
because
don't remember any of that.
he got the tip from the sister because the sister and he both got fired. And they're sitting on the bench and like going, oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do, which I don't know why, because she clearly has like the answers. But I think she's like, I'll give you an in with my little group too. Which usually don't you give somebody a heads up if you're like, hey, I'm gonna send somebody
Yeah.
over. I think you might be interested in them. His name's Tom.
Well,
I know him, good guy.
the gangs and the government guys and the corporations and all that, they're all supposed to be connected, or they're all working for each other, and they're all in cahoots with each other, and that's what's bringing Neil Breensis down to clean up Earth
Yeah.
anyway.
Right.
Although you get the impression that he's like, yeah, I'm gonna give you guys one more chance to clean shit up, or else I'm just gonna murder all of you.
That's what he says at the end. We forgot to mention though earlier when the first girl got fired, the blonde, with the
Yeah.
baby
That's
got
about the only,
fired.
yeah, the girl with
She
the
got
doll.
fired with her friend or whatever, and then the lady walks away, and Neil Breen walks up to the lady who fired them, and her first response to it is, you're gonna be okay.
Here's a flower.
Don't
Here's
give up. And I'm like
the,
thinking, wait, why are you telling the lady who she's got a job? Go. Why aren't you
oh,
going and talking
exactly.
to these people? Like,
And
it's
I love how she gets rid of them too. She's like, due to economic issues, blah 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 blah, we have to let you go, and blah 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 blah
yeah.
blah blah. I'm like,
Yeah,
this
very
never
little
happens.
remorse or anything. It's all very just very
Well,
dry,
I think that was
bureaucratic
just the
thing.
acting too. Like,
Oh, that's true.
you know what I mean? Like, I think that's just how she said it as her line delivery was just like, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to let you guys go. The funding is blah, blah, blah,
Do you notice that both of them got
you
fired outside of the building? Like maybe he couldn't get a
know?
permit to film inside the building.
Probably not.
One of the things I have noticed is the other actors in some of Neil Breen's earlier films, like this one and Double Down, tend to be worse. I think he's gotten better as time has progressed and as he's been making more films,
Better.
as far as helping the other actors so they're not quite so flat and obvious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The other performances in other films, the later films, at least the other actors are a bit better. You know, they're not
Bit
quite as
better.
flat.
Yeah.
I mean, there was in like Fateful Findings and Twisted Pair, which we've done for Indie Film Cafe, there was still some
Yeah.
terrible acting. But you know, there, I mean, when you have like basically unknowns, you know, who don't even have a picture on IMDb, you know, I don't, but
Yeah.
you know, like I can't say anything right now, but you know, like that's the thing, you know, they're not big name people, they're not going to give you the best performance, you
No,
know.
and of course it's one of those things, you know, I'm sure he's just putting in an ad in the local thing or the whatever and he's saying, you know, no pay, be in my movie, and everyone's like, oh yeah, let's do it.
Well, and probably with this
I
being one of
would.
his first films, I would imagine that some of the people were his friends. Like the
Yep.
older politician guys, I guarantee that half of those are in his office. And he's like, "Hey, you want to be in a movie?" By the way, my favorite scene is when the politicians are with the gang and they do this thing where they put the camera on each politician for him to say like his dastardly thing. And the guy, each one of them is just looking straight in the camera saying, "Yes, that will be very good." Ha ha, you know?
Yep.
And
Twirling their they just do it.
mustaches.
They do
It
it systematically. And yeah, it's beautiful. It's
goes
beautiful.
back to Scooby-Doo for real.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a very Scooby-Doo villain kind of thing, twirling their
Scooby-Doo meets
mustache.
Kirk Cameron meets Laser Blast meets Birdemic.
Scooby
Meets Bible
Breen.
Boy or Bible Man, you know, whatever, you know, all of this crap, all of this, like, you know,
Except that Neil
trying.
Breen has a much bigger vision about what the story is than these other
Except for he has a
people.
much bigger vision.
Yeah,
But
much
does he
bigger
really
vision.
think that cleaning up like one little situation in Las Vegas was going to do anything anyway?
It will solve the world's problems, all of them.
Right.
That's the
No,
big
no, no.
problem.
We're not going to Washington, D.C. Nope, we're not going to go to the Middle East where
That
people are
comes later.
persecuted or anything. We're going to go to Vegas where people
Well, I
do
mean,
illegal drugs.
that's where Neil Breen
Right,
lives, so you
right,
know.
right,
I know
right.
that, John.
I
That's
know, but I'm just saying, like, that's it.
not
That's
where
the only reason why he
that's not
does it.
where Neil
Everything's set
Breen
in.
Jesus lives.
Right,
Today,
apparently,
Las
that's
Vegas,
where.
tomorrow, the world. right,
Yeah.
right.
I bet he literally thought that by doing a movie like this, it might actually change people's thoughts on, you know, global warming
Oh,
or
I'm
whatever.
sure.
But the problem is, it could. You know, that's the thing. It could. If it were done and with the right people, you know, doing the message correctly,
Well,
you
right. I
know?
mean, you can do a socially conscious thing. I don't think this movie could have been retooled to do that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
The
well.
other thing I love too is how he's talking about you people, and you know, you can't embrace solar power or whatever. And then they show like the largest solar farm I've seen in my life. You know, it's basically like just a big spread of desert
We
with just like
drove past that, Moody.
hundreds.
Yes, we did. I remember that. Yeah.
So, I
We
mean,
should have took pictures and said we
you're
saw Neil
proving your
Breen's.
point. Yeah. Oh,
Well,
this is Neil
see,
Breen's solar farm.
here's the difference. Okay, a movie like Birdemic, everything is subservient to the message. The message is the
Right.
big, huge sledgehammer that hits you over the head. In Neil Breen's movie, in this one, in case, the message is secondary to Neil Breen. Neil Breen is the number one message. Our environmental stuff is secondary. It's there, but it's still not the main thing. The main thing is still Neil Breen is the greatest guy and the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he can play Jesus and solve the world's problems. And doesn't he start off as like a regular person who is hooked on drugs and then dies? And then, like, that's when the other one comes to Earth in his form?
I didn't get any of that.
I didn't get any of that. I didn't.
I thought
don't
he
know.
just got shot like a fucking big, you know, like a asteroid or something fell, you know,
Yeah,
or whatever.
I just remember a lot of Cosmos 3D animation kind of stuff, you know, and
Yeah, so I think,
yeah.
yeah, I think he was just sent here, you know, by computers or something, because, you know, he's like a computer guy, like
Well, and he even has like he's got like motherboards in
yeah, he's
his
got a
arm.
motherboard. At first I thought those were tattoos, like, and I was like, what, Jones, the god is covered in tattoos. And I look closer and I'm like, oh my god, they're freaking motherboards. They're microchips and shit all
Well, I mean,
over
he does
it.
have a lot
You
of
do.
laptops laying around, so I mean, you know, props,
As
right?
always,
As always.
I
We've
love how
seen this in multiple
there's
projects of
always
his.
dead laptops or dead computers that he can sit there and
And then
Oh,
he can
right. Something.
smash them or, you know, trash them or
Right.
whatever. And
Which again, being, you know, being in IT, I can tell you like with like 90% like confidence that those are probably like the ones that they were that all the people at his office were using, and then they did a refresh. And he's probably like, I'll give you $100 for all those
Yeah.
laptops.
Or I'm just gonna borrow them for today's shoot and then put them back.
Right, except for the ones that I toss off the desks
Oh,
and stuff.
right,
But that's
right.
a different
That's a
movie.
whole different movie. But
But they
there's no
do kind of
computer
blend
stuff
together.
really in this other than the
Yeah.
microchips and
Hey, he
stuff.
might have a prop department. I don't know. I mean,
No, he is the prop department.
he is the prop
some of
department.
those guns that they were using, they look like the exact same ones that have been used over and over and over in all his movies.
And
So,
just as I'm pretty darn sure he's the cinematographer for everything,
oh,
except,
sure. Okay.
you know, he has a
So,
camera operator that he
right.
uses for when
And
he's there.
thank you, John, because that's what I was wondering. Because I was looking at, you know, I was looking at the IMDb. He's the special effects, like the only one for special effects. He is craft services. He is, you know, all these things. But then I was like, well, where's his DP? He doesn't have a DP anywhere. He has a camera operator, but he doesn't have a director of photography. And I'm just like, I was kind of confused by that. But I'll bet
I'm
you
not
anything his.
confused that you can tell this dude just
Yeah.
he is everything. He wants to
Yes.
be
Well,
Robert Rodriguez, you
but I
know?
think that's the thing. I think he probably can't run the camera. I mean, it's hard to direct anyway, but like he can't run the camera, and so he's probably like, "Well, I can't. You're really my DP. I mean, you're doing everything, but I can't
Yeah.
give anyone that level of credit for this film.
And I
Right.
don't
All
know.
mine."
And I don't know that it's a matter that he wants to be, Rodriguez. I just that's a matter that he has to because there's nobody else who's going to help him. You
Yeah,
know what I
because
mean?
he'd have to
I think
pay
he just
somebody
you'd
to
have to
do
pay
that stuff.
someone.
And then
Yeah.
and why pay somebody when he can do it himself? He's one of those directors that feels like that because like he edits, I'm pretty sure, all of his own stuff.
When it's digital, you
The
can do
other
that.
the camera guy did edit part of this. He did give him co-editing
Okay.
credit.
Well, there you go. I mean, but see, that's the thing. They were probably together the whole time, you know, and the camera guy was there setting up, doing all these things. But he was only when it was him, right? When it was everybody else, he was probably taking care of everything. He was
Are
probably.
you kidding? Are you, well, yeah, he probably, yeah, I'm sure he was the one who
Dude,
did
he's the one putting
the
tape on their
game.
boobs, okay?
Which leads me to something else. Like I have heard, and I don't not like, you know, substantiated or whatever. I've heard that a lot of the actresses that work with him do not are not they don't speak very favorably of him.
Oh dear. I don't think
Yeah.
even Tommy does because
I'm not surprised.
I've talked about, you know, to somebody who knows Tommy, and I said, oh yeah, oh my God, I did not realize she had done the Neil Breen movie. And they're like, don't talk to her about that.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so I mean, and you do notice that most of his, it, as the movies progress, he does get a little more age appropriate pairings. But then they get like cringier because then there's more of it.
Right.
You know, I think I'd rather just have him like, you know, kind of mowing on the girl with the angel wing tattoos for a little bit than
Yeah.
actually seeing him like in the pool with the one chick, you know, in later movies.
Are you saying you don't want him to be like, you want him to be more like Woody Allen than, you know, like going for the younger chicks?
Put a shirt on, Neil.
I mean, if you're going to self-finance your movie, you might as well get a little action from a hot chick while you can.
Exactly. Exactly. But one of the things that you guys were saying too, like he might as well just do it himself or whatever. I mean, once you've gone through and you've edited, like, I mean, the first movie that I edited, I had no idea the editing was what it was. And that was 2020. Okay. So that was a long time after this. So I can't imagine what editing was back then. But with every time that you edit, you do learn quite a bit. And so at this point in time, why would he put the edit, get the editing over somebody else or the production or, you know, I mean, because at this point in time, he's a master of all of it.
So you had a little story that you mentioned with regards to financing films, that you with Neil Breen himself. Could you share that little story?
Yes, one of the crowning achievements of my adult life was the day the Neil Breen friend requested me on Facebook.
Ching.
I know. I was like, no way. I had to look it up. I'm showing my kid. I'm like, can you verify this? Can you see if this
Level
really is
achieved.
account? Right.
I
And
don't
it
know. I
was.
don't know if anybody would pretend to be Neil Breen. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sure somebody would. But so, you know, one night, like, you know, I was probably drunk or something. And, you know, yes, I probably drunk dialed Neil Breen, but no, I didn't actually call him, but I messaged him and I was like, hey, do you ever finance other people's movies? Or like, have you ever considered that or whatever? And he basically just said, I can't even afford to finance my own movie. So I was like, okay, thanks.
Oh.
But the only reason I did that is my DP from The Embalmers, Sam Venisi, like he got a hold of Neil Breen's phone number somehow. I don't know how. And he and his friend, they were live on Facebook because they're like, we've got Neil Breen's number and we're going to call him. And they
All
called him and he answered and he talked to them.
right. That's awesome.
Yeah. And Sam was like, well, what advice would you give to a filmmaker? He said, don't make films. And he laughed. He's like, no. You know, but like he talked to them for a good like 10 minutes on the phone. And I
We
thought that
gotta
was
get
super
that
cool.
phone number. We gotta get him on and interview him
He
for
won't. He
Spotlight.
won't. We've talked to, I forgot who we talked to. We talked to somebody who knows him personally and everything and worked with him and stuff and said that you just can't, he doesn't do Zoom because he believes it's controlled by the government.
Oh
So,
God.
like it's that crazy of a thing. Like he probably won't listen to this podcast because he thinks the
Interview him
government
over the
is controlling
phone,
it.
then. We have to reach out to
We
him.
have to talk to him. Like, I mean, I would love to pick his brain because he essentially, if you think about it, anybody out there, any of us, like we are independent filmmakers, whatever, he's the success story. You
Oh, he
know,
is.
shoestring budget, didn't have to go beg for money, didn't have to fold to any kind of production company, distributors, or anything. I mean, isn't that what we all like
Let's
our goal
do it.
is?
Road trip. Let's all drive out to Vegas together. We'll get a hotel room and then we'll go visit Neil Breen. We'll meet him at a restaurant. We'll talk to him. We
Right.
can we
We'll put
can
John in a wheelchair.
Put me in a wheelchair.
we'll get our phone and we'll
I'll
record
bring a
it.
baby doll.
Bring the baby doll. That's awesome.
We'll get Neil Breen. I mean, if we can, that'd be awesome. I mean, he did follow me on Twitter for whatever reason. I don't. I mean, I remember I did retweet something of his, but all of a sudden it's like Neil Breen followed you, and I'm like, is he
Maybe
scared?
we'll luck out and he'll need some folks in the scene and we can actually be in a Neil Breen production. How awesome would that be?
Yeah,
We're
and
one of the few people that when we review his movies, we review in like niceness about it.
Like, unless we have Just Jen who who is not
I
a fan,
right. I mean, I yeah, like I mean, I don't typically shit on movies anyway. Because I've made them and just to have made a movie is a crowning achievement, motherfuckers. I'm
Get
just
something
telling you that
done,
right now.
man. I shit on them when they deserve it. That's for damn sure.
Right. And that's about it. Like whenever there's like, well, you could have done this. You had the money for this. I'm more likely to shit on a Hollywood movie and go, you had budget, but
Exactly.
you chose this? What?
There's a big difference to, I self-financed this movie for $250,000 and I could only afford a plastic baby versus I am a Hollywood producer and I financed this $150 million movie and I cheaped out and got shitty actors and shitty special effects and a plastic
Exactly.
baby. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a big difference.
I'm pretty sure I could get a baby.
I'm
You
pretty
know?
sure they'd at least
Or,
CGI the baby, you
well,
know, that
okay.
money.
Or, you know what? You can put a baby in like a bunting and, you know, and have its head kind of turned a little bit and
Hell, it could be a
blankets. And
stuffed bear. It
you
just
don't
has to
have
be
to
the
show the
thing.
ins. The fact is, he never had to show the inside of the carriage. We see a stroller. We're like, oh, baby.
And you
Like,
see so much of it, it's like,
it could have been a dog. Yeah. And it just, well, that's the problem too. Like if you weren't, I mean, it's kind of in the corner of the screen. So like if you weren't really paying attention, you know, whatever. But the fact of the matter, it's there for so long and doesn't make any kind of movement. And she doesn't make any kind of like,
The
oh
sound.
yeah, she doesn't like, you know, go try to put the, you know, try to fix the hat or anything. Like she's just talking like there's nothing there because there's nothing there.
A prop.
She's treating it like a prop because it is a prop. And you know me, Moody, I'm the kind of person where I pick up details in the background all the time. I cannot help it. It's
Well,
one of
that was in the
the
foreground. I mean,
yeah,
that was
exactly. Everybody saw
This is
that
literally
coming.
the problem.
This
Was
isn't
it
like a
was
continuity error. Like, oh, his tie is on there, and he
Where's your
has his tie off
monkey?
now.
Where's your
No.
monkey? Do you have your monkey?
The monkey, the monkey knows better than to go in Neil Breen film.
You know, I was telling Paul yesterday that I was watching a Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie that just came out on Netflix, and they were showing all these was it toys that this girl had. Had fucking continuity monkey in the middle. And I
Of
was like, that's
course.
awesome. You know, if
Nice.
anything,
Got a
Paul should be
career, you
happy
know.
that continuity monkey's working in Netflix, you
Yep.
know. She's got a career of his own.
Okay, I know this is primarily an audio podcast. Sometimes some of the video shows up, but I am really getting freaked out by the girl. The other sister is behind John, and you can only see her eyes and her nose and her hair. And I keep thinking it's me.
You're kissing Neil Breen's
I know.
zombie
Like
brain.
she
You're
kind of
kissing
has my
Zombreen.
profile. Yeah, she kind of has my profile,
There you
and she's
go.
kind of, yeah, so I'm
You know, I
over there.
wonder if that was a
You're cock
prerequisite.
blocking me, John. You're like in between
John,
me and
you're keeping
Zombreen.
Rebecca from Zombreen.
So I was actually thinking because if you watch when she's there, I guess they're supposed to be having sex or whatever. They don't kiss at all. Their faces get close, but anytime they're about to touch, it's with the mask. Then later, she kisses him with the mask on. Did she ask him, like, I'm sorry, I'll only kiss you if you put the mask on? Is that the only way she'll kiss Neil Breen? You know?
It
And
would not surprise
I was
me.
getting ready to say, and we don't even know if that was Neil Breen, but you know what? We know that was
It's
Neil
Neil
Breen.
Breen.
But it's funny because it reminded me of that scene what was the one? It was Fateful Findings where he's in the shower with the filthy, filthy mask, and I'm like, kiss the mask, kiss the mask.
Yes. Which one was that?
I think that was Fateful Findings.
Fateful Findings. Oh my God. Oh man. Was that when they were in the like the
Yes,
in the
yes,
in
yes,
the
yes, yes.
fucking shower? Oh my God, that was so gross.
So, and it's funny because, you know, so for this film, Neil is the being. So, you know, it's not like he, I mean, I guess he's trying to sort of make this a sort of intergalactic Jesus alien computer thing, but that's what he calls himself, the being. And it seems like he's kind of that being in other films too. You know what I mean? So I'm wondering if this is like a developing character or just one that he, because you know he's kind of like this omniscient creature in other films too. So I don't know. It's I don't know. It's I don't think it was in Double Down. So I think this is the first time you see that,
Well,
which is
in Double
interesting.
Down, he has a name. In most of the movies, he has a name. He has a character name. Even Twisted Pair, he had two character names because he played twins. So we got t t
But
double the Breen, you know, in that one.
wow, it was almost as good as when Van Damme did it.
It was definitely a double impact for all of us, for sure. But have you seen Pass Through, Paul? Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I have that in two, and I nearly you was going to suggest that one for this, but this one's a little bit more fun than Pass Through.
Okay, so that's not even as, oh, I thought it was starting to get better or whatever, but I guess even then, because that was after
Well,
Twist,
that
that was after
it
Fateful
was.
Findings.
Right, but better up, I think, probably means like fun down a little in this kind of movie. Like, and I think that's another thing with these So Bad They're Good movies is we just did So Bad They're Good. We had it was listener pick on the Slumber Party Massacre podcast. Everywhere where you listen to podcasts, we're awesome. But like they were horror. And it's a little harder to find so bad they're good horror movies because of that whole intention versus execution. You know, it really tends to be a drama that really makes the best so bad they're good kind of movie.
Right. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
that no, I was actually thinking about that. 'Cause like this movie and like even Birdemic, which was somewhat horror, you know, had a lot of drama. The Room
Right.
was nothing but
But
drama.
drama,
And
right?
that
These
was
are.
fun because it's so because they're trying so hard to make something good, something that people can like identify with or be like, oh my God, that's so true, you know. But then you watch it and you're like, oh,
But
yeah.
are they?
I
The
think
three
so.
people, that we just mentioned, James Nguyen and Tommy Wiseau and Neil Breen. I think all of them make movies for themselves. Now, James Nguyen, he's on Birdemic 3. He's like, I got something good. I'm going to stick with my cash cow. You know, but in general, like his kind of core catalog before he went there, which I don't blame him. Whatever,
Yeah,
cash
I
in
mean,
on
well,
that
whatever
money.
works,
But I
works. Keep
think
working it.
I think all three of them, I mean, I don't really think they give a shit what any
Oh,
of us
no.
think
No, no,
about
no,
their
no.
movies. They're making these movies for them, and that in and of itself is also very admirable.
And yet they're all very, very different too, because James Nguyen, I mean, he's not in the movie. The movie is not about making him a movie star.
Right.
It is with Tommy Wiseau and Neil Breen. The thing is, between those two, I think if between the two of them, I think Tommy Wiseau is a worse actor because he overacts and overdoes everything.
Right.
Neil Breen's
And
the
the
opposite.
accent too, I
Neil
mean.
Breen underdoes everything. He's like a mannequin. You have to poke him to actually emote a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I
Whenever
mean?
he's delivering like those really epic lines or whatever, yes, he sounds like he's reading a recipe. He doesn't really give a lot. And at the end of it, he holds up that little globe thing or whatever the hell that was, and he says, "Man does not have power, only responsibility," or something to that effect. I was like, "Oh, that was pretty good." And then at the end of the credits, it's actually like a native saying. I was like, oh, he didn't come up
Oh,
with it.
right. But as far as an actor goes, you know,
Yeah.
Tommy, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, Neil Breen doesn't have that Tommy Wiseau moment. He doesn't have that,
Yeah.
you're going to tear me apart, Lisa. He doesn't have that thing going
Yeah.
on.
He kind of makes it, though, he kind of makes it about the actors instead of him, like the other characters, you know, at some point. Uh-oh.
Later
Uh-oh.
and said, I can't find anybody to do
I can't,
exactly
I
the way I
mean,
want it, so
right.
I'm
How
going to
can you
do
afford, if you can't afford to
it.
make the movie much? I mean, that's the thing where you can really like cut back on costs. If you can get a free lead, if you can run the camera yourself, that's huge. If you don't have to get a DP, you know? And so, yeah, if he can't afford a DP and he can't afford an editor and he can't.
Great. Okay, everybody, just so you know, there's a problem with the internet connection right now. So
At least as you start, Neil Breen now could probably get an actor, a real actor, to come out and do stuff for him. I
but at
mean,
this point in
he's
time, isn't
relevant.
that part of his like signature? It's a Neil Breen movie. Neil Breen better be the motherfucking like I even me. I'm like saying, ooh, I don't want to see his butt and everything else. But if I see a Neil Breen movie, he better be the motherfucking lead. He better be the main one, you know, or
Yeah,
else I'm gonna be like,
I don't think that's a problem. I think he's always going to be the lead in all his
yeah.
movies.
Yeah, I think at this point, whether he wants to or not, I mean, he's pigeonholed. But yeah, I think he probably wants to, but
Hey, just so you guys know, there was a little bit of an issue with my connection, so I caught some of what you guys were saying.
Okay. Well, I can. Well, we were still connected, so hopefully it's all good.
Yeah, hopefully it's all there. But if not, you guys did come back and we did get a lot of it. So,
Okay.
it's just in the middle and I was like, oh crap,
Well,
Well, we could hear each other, so.
have we reached the point where we got to start talking about rating this film?
Yeah,
I
let's
guess we're
do.
at that point. So, Paul, explain to us the stinkometer.
Well, this is where we take our scores on a level of 1 to 10, and we rate our film where the lower the number, the better the film is, the higher the number, the stinkier the movie is, which not only is fun, but usually also means problems. Like the production has a lot of problems. And then we total up our score, and then we see where on the ladder of stink this movie happens to land for this season.
And I am horrible at this because I've been on several episodes of this and I still get confused and I still am like, but I like it. I don't want to give something a low score because it's good and a high score because it's bad. And maybe it's bad, but I like it. So
Well,
I always have a problem. So I'm gonna let you guys.
you can have a fun movie that you enjoy that is poorly made and give it a 10
I
because it's
know,
bad.
but it's so hard. So I am going to let you guys go first. I know probably customarily you would let me go first, but I get really like anxious whenever
That
it
is true.
comes
We
to
sort of
me.
let
You can
the
also have a movie that you absolutely thought was awful, but the production was really, really good, and you might say, oh,
Right.
I'll give it a 5
That I
instead
can
because of that.
deal with a little bit more. This one's like I want to take your lead. So
Okay,
go
well, Mr. Moody, I'm going to let you go first then.
I'm gonna give it a 10. Like, I'm
Ha
sorry, I can't say, like, it was terrible. It was there was the everything from the production quality of having no baby in the baby stroller to just the constant use of stock footage just to pad the movie out. Or padding of the movie out. We forgot to mention that at points that the cars they would watch the cars keep driving. It
Yes.
was so
Yes.
slow at times.
Oh
It drove
yes,
me
the
nuts.
hallmark of indie films that don't make it to 1 hour and 20 minutes.
What?
What
Yeah, this
do?
was an hour and
Let's show
20
every
something minutes.
yeah, let everybody see everybody drive to everywhere.
He could have trimmed some of this down, and he didn't. And I think, for that, I'm sorry, but Neil has not made a movie that is under 10 for me yet. I have not seen one that I can't give anything less than a 10. So
Yeah, I'm
I'll have to
afraid
give
I'm
it a
going to
10.
have to give it a 10 too. However, remember, this is an earlier Neil Breen film, so he hasn't learned as much as he does with some of the other ones, which is why some of the other ones, they're a little bit more fun and he's taking a few more chances and there's a little bit more as far as special effects and there's not as many things like the cars driving on and on and on and on and plastic babies and stuff like that. There are other issues, but the same kind of stuff that you see with a lot of other beginning filmmakers, you're going to see in some of the first couple of films with him because he's still just kind of learning. And it's hard for me to sort of knock him down for that because that's the sort of stuff we see in a lot of different things. However, it still has the Neil Breen touch, and there's not much you can really do about this. And unfortunately, like I said, this is not as much fun for me personally to sit through than some of the later Neil Breen films. The other ones are just so wacky and outside the box that doesn't matter how bad they are, they are just a ball of fun and you can't help yourself. This one, not quite so much fun for me. It kind of lagged for me in a lot of places. So because of that, because you're getting in the boredom factor, I had to go
Yeah.
with the 10. How about you?
So I kind of disagree with one thing that John said. I actually think like the production value is pretty good, especially taking it back to when it was made. Like, yeah, if this was a movie that came out right now, yeah, whatever. But I mean, not everybody's got, Adobe Premiere and, Blackmagic camera, So I think for the time, I think it actually looked pretty good. Again, a lot of stock footage, stuff like that. I don't fault people for padding and stock footage. Although it is one of the things that now I'm starting to realize on my second movie, I'm like, I would rather make a movie that's 1 hour and 10 minutes and it was,
Yeah, it doesn't
succinct
have
and
that
it
stuff.
made sense and just didn't have the padding. I think that that might be where indie film needs to go. Is okay, you have a story. just tell your story. Don't worry about all the other shit. I don't need to see windmill, farms or anything like that. I
Or if we see it, we can see it once. We don't need to see it like three times in the movie or something, you know?
And I get it that too, it matched really well. I'm again, this was me looking as a filmmaker going, he found some really good stock footage because that matches really well. So I was actually finding myself giving him props for filmmaking things like that. and especially in a time where, that was not where the internet was at your fingertips. I mean, we had internet, but it wasn't like that. Like, you couldn't just go out and be like, okay, stock footage of windmill in Las Vegas
And
desert.
at least
Boom.
it made sense. It wasn't like that wonderful scene in Ed Wood where he's like, he's got this stock footage of buffalo charging, so he's got to wedge that into the story. There's explosions going off. Nobody knows what they are, but it's upsetting the buffalo.
But he said he would make a whole movie out of that. That's inventive. That would be a really cool
I'm dying
thing
to
if
do
you
that.
can make
I'm
a
dying
whole
to do that.
movie that had stock footage and just had a narrator talking over it.
That
I'd
would
be
be
all
give me a
for
second.
that, you know.
Yeah.
But
So
anyway.
I guess given all that, I mean, I can't, I really, I know I'm feeling the pressure to give it a 10, but for the thing of it's not as fun, and it does seem like he was still trying to find his footing, and that I do know, because I can't just judge this movie because I do know his later work or whatever, and I probably would give some of that a little bit lower, higher. I don't know. Okay. You know what? I'm gonna stop waffling. I can only give this an 8.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I do respect him and I respect a lot of the things that were done. I respect that I look at things through different lenses and I just
It's
can't
okay.
like
That
just
is
totally
absolutely
fair.
okay.
Sorry.
No, you see, you're that's a decent thing then compared to like we watched a movie called, well, Paul saw it later, but it's called Alien Prophecy, and I had two of my co-hosts at the time doing the show with me, and they sweet as hell, and that was the problem. They just could not they kept
Oh.
finding something, and I was like, this movie is terrible. I overlook everything
Yeah.
that comes into because they look like they had the ability to do better,
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of view with Neil. I feel like even, he could have covered up the freaking doll. He could have done that. Like,
Yeah.
it doesn't take 2 seconds to realize, especially if you're filming it at some point, going, okay, we can see it that that's a doll. It's not like Ed Wood in the movie Ed Wood, where he's like, oh, he's going to run into that wall all the time. No.
Yeah, and he's hearing these people give flat deliveries. He could easily say, could you give that a little bit more of a realistic, and I'll just
But
reshoot.
again, he's a young director too, and he's probably not paying these people a whole lot. And sorry, look at me defending again. Like there's sometimes when you're like, we got to get through all this. I can only pay this person for a day. There's no way that we can redo that. We can't redo everything. There's certain things like now that you can shoot in 4K or 6K or 8K, you can zoom the hell out of it and still get good resolution. And so if you frame something incorrectly now, you can always adjust it. But with the resolution he was working with at that time, which was probably what, 720, maybe 1080 if he was lucky, but still you can't change your framing. So if he didn't notice that just in the 5 minutes that they set up the scene and they just happen to have the baby, if he, I could see him getting the hard drive and like looking at the footage and going, why did I not cover up the goddamn baby? But there's nothing you can do about it. You can't do reshoots. I mean, like that it's so maybe this
This
isn't me on my soapbox right now, but still,
may
I
this
there's
is
too much merit. I find too
assuming.
many good things about this to really say it's a stinker, even though saying something is a stinker to me is actually like
Praise.
is a praise. So I would say if that is the case, I would give some of his other movies a higher score because they were more enjoyable.
I don't know that it's a good assumption to even think that Neil Breen even looks at the footage that doesn't include him. So
That's probably the other guy. He's like, I think you just need to edit all the stuff with the gangs and the sisters.
Yeah,
I'll
I'm
just do
almost
mine.
positive.
Yeah. But no, I like, I don't know. The movie, I totally get it, because that this basically is a 28 then, because you gave
Wow.
it an 8. We gave it
Neil
a
Gaiman is
10
no
each.
longer the king of stinky heaven.
Like if we did Fateful Findings, for example, I would probably give that a 10. Now, I probably would, but you know what? I came into this thinking I was going to give it a 10, and like I just can't.
Well, yeah, and sometimes that happens when you start,
and I watch
analyzing the
bad
movie,
stuff.
you start thinking maybe lower because you start respecting it a little
Right.
bit more.
So are you just mean you're going to start defending Bat Pussy?
Oh my God, I tell
Tina
everybody I can find, I'm like, you have to watch Bat Pussy.
Krause owns it. I mean,
That movie was fucking phenomenal.
but I mean, are
Like,
you going to defend it and say, well, the
no.
filmmaker,
Well, they can only afford pajama pants for this
yeah,
girl to strip into
they're
and a
really couldn't afford an
cardboard.
erection for our buddy.
I gotta go watch that now. I mean, that movie is just, yeah, technically and everything, that one just screams bad. But no, I watch bad movies like because I enjoy them, and so it's really hard for me to separate. And also it's sort of not trendy. It's actually like it's so commonplace now. People have these certain movies that they're like, oh, they're so bad or whatever. And he always gets lumped in them, and it's like, well, I mean, we're doing that here. I'm obviously guilty. The trifecta, the brain, the Watteau, and then the wind. But like they're you wouldn't say the same things about their movies now. So
Well, because I think, that's the interesting part is like Tommy got famous, like more famous than James Nguyen and way more famous than Neil Breen, because of the Disaster Artist and because
well,
of.
because they embraced it. Those two have embraced it. They've let, sort of. Tommy embraces it in a weird way. James Nguyen is, he's embraced it in like, fine, go ahead, rip
Yeah,
it.
go
I
ahead
don't
and make
care.
fun of it. I'll just make the same exact movie again, except I'll make sure I wink at you and let you know I know. And that was we did Birdemic 2 for
Yeah.
Patreon only. And my biggest problem with the movie is like he knows now.
He
It's
know, yeah.
not it's it's like somebody being in on the joke and then just kind of ruining the joke then,
Right. And I'm
Neil
sure that's the
Breen
way three
is
is
not
too.
winking.
No, he's not
No.
winking, and he's just giving you basically a finger. He won't talk to you. He won't back down and embrace the cheesiness or anything like that. And again, another reason to like him.
Yeah.
Yep. I
It's,
respect him because of
I
that.
respect the
Yeah.
guy. I
Believe
mean, I
me,
still think he's one of the worst filmmakers we've seen, but in a good way, he has fun. He enjoys himself. He's creative.
And I love them. I know folks put on Facebook about they're excited to see this Marvel movie or this Hollywood movie. I never do
Yeah.
that. Now if somehow a new Neil Breen movie comes out, that's when I get excited. I can't
Yeah.
wait.
Like MCU, whatever. Yeah, I was excited to hear he's making his next movie.
Yeah,
So.
exactly. And that's the thing. Like we said it before. Neil Breen doesn't like Hollywood. He's not interested in the Hollywood stories and everything. He wants to make his own. I can't wait for him to do a superhero movie. That would be fucking
Isn't that
funny.
what this is?
Sort of, but
Pretty much.
he's a god. He's god in this,
Yeah, he's
or
above
whatever.
superheroes.
Yeah, it's even bigger than superheroes, but
Oh, I'm waiting for him to do Shakespeare. I'm waiting for him to do
he did.
Macbeth
He did
or
Hamlet. That's right in the background of you, right there. That's Hamlet.
That I would love that. I would love Neil Breen's Hamlet.
Neil Breen's
I would
Hamlet.
watch it. I would so watch it.
Him. He's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh yeah.
He has to. We could get the
Juliet
girl, but
is
the angel
actually
tattoos as the.
twelve. I'm also waiting for him to say, Hamlet was okay, but I needed to rewrite it so that it was better.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
So good.
Anywho,
All right, let's
thank
yeah.
you. Thank you so much, Rebecca, because we've been trying to get you. Like we said earlier, we tried to do this at Scarefest, but Scarefest was crazy busy, not just for you, but for us too. Like everything was just
This
nuts.
insanity.
It
Yeah.
was. But, and I'm
And
glad that you were able to find a few seconds to pose with Continuity Monkey. That made him happy.
yeah.
Yes. And we always enjoy having you on the show. So we are hoping that you'll be back more in 2023. So, you
Well, I
know.
definitely need some crappy porn.
Oh yeah, we've got we're
I know you've got a
lined
whole
up,
catalog.
ready to
Yeah.
go.
I mean, I don't know. See, I think you made a mistake by starting out the gate with Bat Pussy, though.
It's
Yeah, because
hard to
like
go
bar is
plus
so
more.
high,
You'd
Paul.
be surprised though. I've got a lot of bad stuff.
I know. I also had horse semen everywhere too. So that was, you
So,
almost got there with that one.
it's interesting to me though. So ultimately, Hanneman and the Five Riders was a worse movie than this film. Because you gave
Oh,
that a 10.
you have that a 10. So you think Hanneman and the Five Riders is worse than this movie?
Yeah.
But to be fair, I think it actually is. You know, it definitely is.
Yeah.
I feel like that is definitely a 30.
It's definitely
And
worse. It's also more fun, unfortunately.
yeah,
It's a little
yeah.
bit
more creative.
It's
And
wackadoodle.
this was Neil Breen at his early works trying to figure out what he was gonna be. You
Yes.
know,
Yeah.
and everything. And
Exactly.
then he made Fateful Findings and everything changed.
Everything changed.
You know,
That's
it was a
right.
magical day.
He got his groove.
It
All
was a
right.
magical day.
Well, thank you so much,
Guys.
Rebecca. Tell everybody where like you mentioned one of your podcasts. I know you do other ones too.
Yeah, I said I've been a really big slacker in 2022 on podcasting, but I am on the Slumber Party Massacre podcast. We are part of the Cut to the Chase feed on Spotify, everywhere else. We're also on Facebook. Go find us on our Facebook group. We have a lot of listener interaction, and we're also cool, and we're also all chicks, and we're hot.
There you
So if
go.
you don't want to listen to us, I mean, you can at least look at us, I guess. I
You
don't
sounded like the
know.
girl from I Am Here. We're, you know, we're good looking and
Yeah.
we're hot.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah, the twins when she goes, you're hot. I mean,
We're
we're
hot.
hot. Like, why don't we just become hookers?
So on your next podcast, are you going to have a plastic baby with you?
Maybe. But that's my main podcast, and of course I am also an aspiring indie filmmaker. I am working on my follow-up to my directorial debut. So I'm working on Tin Roof right now. Doing ADR, which is fun.
I'll bet.
You know, because here, if you watch that movie and you're like, oh my God, the ADR in this is horrible, it's because I'm learning how to do ADR.
Aw.
So, hey, there you
Well,
go.
we'll never pick on your movies.
Gotta start somewhere.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I love the embalmers. I know you. I think you have a little bit of a different feeling on it because you worked on it and it took a lot of whatever. I loved it. I loved you. I loved Jessa. I loved everybody in the movie. Just everybody was so much fun. Rob had a blast of a character, just something I've never seen him play. And so I enjoyed it a lot, you
I
know.
do
Yeah.
wish you had a little bit more time in Sharks of the Corn, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for that's kind of what I like to do is I like to be the cold open kill. Like that's fun. Like
Yeah.
I mean, you're like what people remember. You get the best kill. I got on the poster. I got a shirt of me running with a shark behind me. I mean, how many people can say that? I like
Right.
being the cold open death.
Shark in some corn, you
There
know.
you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, thank you so much, and everybody else, join us. I guess next month, you know, or whatever. I'm guessing this will hopefully be the end of March that
We'll
this
wedge
comes
this in
out.
somewhere.
Yeah, they were doing it completely different this year, so
And hey,
you know.
we hopefully, you know, we'll talk, Rebecca. We'll definitely want to get Sexploitation Sleazecast back on track.
Oh yeah.
And I know we still got 80s horror films, but we're actually taking a little bit of a break from that, and that'll be good because you've got a million, you know, other things you're doing right now. But we'll probably be back with that closer to the end of the you know, like fall or so, you
And
know, we'll
hey,
be
she's
back with that.
making time for Neil Breen.
I
That's
know.
right.
That's all we care
I
about.
Gotta have your
did.
priorities.
Yeah, our
That's
priorities
right.
is Neil Breen first.
Yep.
Neil, call us. Call all three of us. We'll be in your film.
Yeah,
I'll
definitely.
do it for free. I'll even
We'll
pay for my
pay. We'll
flight. I'll
pay
pay
to
for
come
my
out.
flight to get to Vegas if I
There
can
you
be
go.
in.
We'll do all of that,
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you
All right,
guys
guys.
so much, and everybody else. Join us next episode. Until then, bye.
Bye.